Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Lively, and I'm the clinical director of the Transitions to Parenthood program at the Family Institute. We're a team of psychotherapists specializing in reproductive mental health and provide therapy and support to women, men, infants, couples, and families in this important life transition. Today, I'll be talking to Dr. Kara Driscoll, a reproductive psychiatrist specializing in perinatal mental health. Dr. Driscoll collaborates with women during times of emotional and biological change, such as pregnancy, the postpartum period, perinatal loss, infertility, perimenopause, and the menstrual cycle. She provides individual psychotherapy, medication management, preconception consultation, or second opinion consultations. Additionally, Dr. Driscoll works with patients who experience mental health effects of a chronic illness, such as epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, thyroid disease, or cancer. She's the founder of the Allegro Center, an LLC in Lakeview, where she sees patients, and is a faculty member in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I want to focus first on your work in reproductive psychiatry with women around the biological changes that come up with the transition to motherhood. What are some of the most common presenting problems you see with pregnant women?
I see a number of presenting problems. So I often have women who are actually coming in for the first time. Maybe they've developed anxiety, depression, obsessions, or compulsions during pregnancy, and they're interested in getting an evaluation for a possible diagnosis, as well as some treatment. I also have some patients who unexpectedly become pregnant while they're already in treatment, and they have concerns that maybe the medication that they're taking might have adverse outcomes for their pregnancy, and they would like a consultation. And then I often see women who have a prior history of depression or anxiety and have perhaps discontinued treatment in advance of a pregnancy and then suffer a recurrence of their symptoms and want to know what options they might have for getting back into treatment.
One of the most common concerns that women have during pregnancy is that psychotropic medications, so medications for psychiatric treatment, are things that will harm the fetus and shouldn't be taken. I'm wondering if you could describe how you collaborate with women around this and what your thoughts are about the increased sort of stigma around taking these medications while pregnant. It seems like psychotropic medications have more of a stigma than other classes of medications that women take during pregnancy.
The treatment of mental health diagnoses such as depression or anxiety remains a hot button issue in the general public, and honestly, I think even within the medical community. I think this does relate to lingering stigma about mental health and maybe just a limited understanding of the practice of treating depression or anxiety with medication. The causes of depression and anxiety are still largely unknown, so I think there's some apprehension around this issue. However, there is a large body of scientific evidence that supports the use of medication to treat moderate to severe depression and anxiety. Another thing I hear from my patients is a perception that treating anxiety or depression is optional. Maybe it's not so severe. I've had still regularly patients who tell me their friends or their family or even their doctors tell them they should just sort of buck up and deal with it. I actually had a patient that told me that another one of her physicians told her, well, it's only 9 months, so you can deal with your anxiety for 9 months, right? Maybe another more charitable reason that there's some increased vigilance is just depression is common. It's common during the perinatal period. We have data to suggest that 1 out of 8 women during pregnancy and 1 out of 8 women postpartum will experience noticeable symptoms of depression. And then to your question about, you know, so how do I approach this with women? Gently. I think there's often a lot of anxiety about this issue. So I sort of see a consultation as an opportunity to gather information, both for the patient and for myself, and to sort of try to do some planning and to collaborate. I mean, I really agree with the idea that this is a collaboration. So I usually spend a lot of time in the first visit collecting the information, want to know about a person's history, kind of what are their symptoms like, when do they bother them, how severe does it feel, when was the last time they felt like their normal self? I want to know all about their fears and anxieties. Did they even want to come to this appointment? Did someone make them come to this appointment? What have they heard? Did they look on the internet? Did a friend tell them this is what they can or cannot do? Did a pharmacist tell them, oh my gosh, you can't fill this medication, you're pregnant? And then once I have a good idea of, you know, kind of some of those concerns, I try to provide as much scientific information as possible in order to help a woman make a decision. And it's going to depend on the individual and kind of what she's experiencing. And then I want to make sure that if we're talking about treatment, that it is something that she feels comfortable with. And I'm always happy to collaborate with their other doctors, you know, their OBGYN, maybe a pediatrician if the baby's already born, and in the hopes of, again, really trying to make patients feel comfortable with their choices.
What are some of the differences in partnering or collaborating with women for treatment who are dealing with treatment for infertility, and how might your approach change based on where she is in the process of using medical intervention to become pregnant or not, and what might change or not once she becomes pregnant?
Well, infertility is a really significant stressor for women. I actually was at a conference recently where they reminded the audience, and this was an audience of mental health providers, that the stress associated with infertility is comparable to the stress of people undergoing treatment for cancer. And it's sort of a silent stressor because it's not visible. It's not something that women feel terribly comfortable talking about. So they're experiencing this stress, but not really feeling like they have any place to get support. So certainly when you're under that level of stress, if you have a history of having depression or anxiety, I think it can be a trigger for a recurrence of those symptoms. But we also see women who are experiencing higher levels of anxiety or stress than they ever have before. So I really encourage people to reach out to get help. You know, and I think in terms of thinking about treatment, my rule of thumb in general with treatment is, what would I recommend for this particular patient's situation, regardless of pregnancy, regardless of infertility? And is there something about their current situation, in this example, infertility, that would make the treatment different? And I would tell you, a lot of the times, it doesn't necessarily change the treatment. One of the advantages in a situation where someone's pursuing, let's say, IVF, compared to someone who spontaneously gets pregnant, we actually have a little bit more of an understanding of what the timing is going to be. So if patients are wanting to try to time when they get back on a medication, or if they want to come off of their medication, we have a little better sense of when it is that they're probably going to be coming close to conceiving. So that can be an advantage. I would say a lot of my patients who are undergoing a workup for infertility or considering interventions are very, very fearful about just all of the hormones that go along with those treatments, and have heard horror stories of, oh my gosh, like, these hormones make you crazy. Thankfully, that is not always the case. I think what's tricky is some women are more sensitive to the hormones with IVF treatment. I advocate for the model of, get your team together, get your supports, whether they be doctors, therapists, friends, family. And that way, you know, if it turns out that you are having some sensitivity or some trouble, then you've got people who are already ready to support you.
I wanted to talk now about treatment for women postpartum. And first of all, I'm just curious, as a reproductive psychiatrist, how you define postpartum, and what are some of the most common presenting problems you see in the postpartum?
So I probably would mostly take the cue from the patient. If they are calling me because they think they're having an issue that relates to being postpartum, then that's where we're going to start. I think in the medical community, there's a rather narrow definition for postpartum, but most people, I think, practicing in this area kind of loosely think of the first year after delivery as the postpartum period. But again, if a mom called me and said that she was weaning her daughter who's 15 months from breastfeeding and she was having some mood concerns, to me that feels like a postpartum issue. So, and you know, the most common things I see in the postpartum period are symptoms of depression, anxiety, trauma-related symptoms. OCD is actually a pretty common postpartum as well. And particularly with postpartum depression, that's probably the thing people hear the most about in sort of the general public. We now have research that suggests probably a third of postpartum depression cases start in the postpartum period. Another third probably were actually symptoms that started in pregnancy and either just weren't diagnosed or weren't able to be addressed. And then the other third is kind of thought to be patients who already had a history of depression or anxiety and they're suffering a relapse at that point. Something I don't see very frequently, thankfully, but is very important to screen for is postpartum psychosis. So this is a very rare condition, but it is really an emergency. So it's important for me to sort of make sure that these are not the kind of symptoms that a patient is having. But women in this particular situation might report confusion, strange beliefs, hallucinations, very rapid mood swings, inability to sleep. And this often happens actually pretty early in the postpartum period. And this would be a reason, you know, for someone to call a doctor right away or to go to the emergency room.
Generally speaking, what would you say to a woman who's pregnant or postpartum who recognizes that they need to see a psychiatrist but has never met with one before and is scared about how it'll go? Or I think the most common fear I hear is if you see a psychiatrist, you will inevitably be prescribed a medication, and not wanting to be coerced into that, or some fear along those lines.
Usually by the end of a session, a first session with somebody, it's not uncommon for me to hear, like, I didn't know how this was going to go. And I would say it's very normal to be unsure about what, you know, what the appointment's going to feel like. I say, take a deep breath, ask around, ask your friends, ask family, ask, you know, a doctor that you already have for a good referral, because it probably helps to see someone who someone else is vouching for. And then, you know, maybe jot down some notes before you come, because that can be helpful. I really believe in being honest with the doctor that you're seeing and saying, man, I was pretty nervous about coming here, because it's really, it's our job to try to help you feel comfortable. And my approach is, you know, I don't know if the person I see is going to be a good candidate for medication treatment. That's one of many things that I might think about. I mean, I have patients that come in with symptoms of depression, and as it turns out, it's their thyroid that is not functioning the way it was prior to pregnancy, and I end up referring them back to their doctor and they get thyroid treatment. So just because you see a psychiatrist does not mean you're going to end up on medication. Hopefully, if you see a psychiatrist, you'll have more information about maybe, you know, some of the things you've been experiencing and what options are available to you.
Thank you so much for being with us. Any final thoughts?
I feel really lucky to work in this area, and you can tell I get pretty excited about it. So I'm really always working to kind of connect people with the help that's going to, again, help them achieve a pregnancy.
So I want to thank Dr. Driscoll for being with us today. For more information on Dr. Driscoll and her work and her practice, you can go to www.feinberg.northwestern.edu and search under Faculty Profiles under D for Driscoll. That's D-R-I-S-C-O-L-L. This podcast is brought to you by the Family Institute at Northwestern University, a nationally recognized leader in the field of behavioral health. We bring together the right partners to support children, adults, couples, and families across the lifespan. As researchers, educators, and therapists, we work with our clients and partner to see change. If you'd like to request an appointment, please call us at 847-733-4300, extension 263. You may also visit our website at family-institute.org. And please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for relationship tips and tools, and for updates on new podcast episodes. Thanks so much for listening.